to the GBC Sermon Podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. This message from our Sunday church service is part of the resources we provide as we seek to see lives changed by Jesus. You could also listen to our Big Three podcast, a conversation that unpacks three big questions raised from sermons like this one. You can find more information about Gymea Baptist Church, as well as discipleship resources and an opportunity to join us in person or online on our website, gymeabaptist.org.au.
Right, this is Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2 and verses 1 to 10. And it has the great heading in the NIV, Made Alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Thanks, Derek. So good. Thank you super much for that. I'm going to slide this one over. I might slide it over here and happy days. Well, hello and welcome to church this morning. It is great to see you. As Kat said, my name is Roxanne. I'm associate pastor here and it is great to see you, particularly if you're new or visiting. This is your first time in church. We're really pleased to see you and I hope that you feel welcome and included in what we're doing today. And also that goes for our friends who are joining us online as well. It was great to talk to you already. Well, I've got a bit of a story for you to start off with. And this story takes place at the close of the Second World War. It's mid-1940s. There's a young married couple and they have a passion and they have an ability and they have an opportunity. And this young married couple have this passion, and their passion is for the gospel, it's for the word of God. And they're coming out of the Second World War, and everything's all over the shop. It's topsy-turvy, it's chaos. There's been a war brewing, and their passion is not just for the word of God and for Jesus, it's actually for the young people in their area, for the kids in particular. That's their passion. And so they take their passion of the gospel and reaching out to young kids, and they take their ability. They're able to do a couple of things. They're able to teach, and they have this gift of hospitality and connection. And they take their teaching ability and the gift of hospitality and connection, and they see an opportunity. And their opportunity is the fact that there's nothing around for kids. There's nothing around that helps kids engage with Scripture to know that the God who loves them beyond all measure. There's nothing for it. But they have some stuff. They've got a footpath outside their place. They've got a laundry. And famously, they've got a chicken shed. They have a chicken shed that they decide they can hose out. And so they use their passion and their ability and their opportunity, and they start this tiny little Sunday school at the close of the Second World War in the mid-1940s. Little kids' church, that's all it is, just kids gathering and gathering and teaching them about the Bible, and eventually starts to grow and build and go from there, and adults start coming until a number of years later, the Baptist Union at the time come up to them and said, "We want to make this a church. We think this is a church." And they give it a name. And it's called Gymea Baptist Church. And you're in it. And that's our origin story. Passion, ability, opportunity. In the 70s, in the late 70s, there's a young man. He was a teacher and he liked teaching, but it wasn't his real passion. But his passion was for young people. And his passion was also surfing. He loved to surf and loved young people. And he had an ability. He was a teacher. He could teach and he could gather people. And he wanted to step into that ability that he had. And he had an opportunity because he lived close to the beach. And he had a church that was behind him and a youth ministry. And he saw an opportunity that young groms, surfing groms, were not being taught about Jesus at all. They had no idea who Jesus was, and he took his passion and his ability and his opportunity and started this little mini ministry down at Cronulla Beach to young people, to surfers. And today we know that as Christian Surfers, and it's in 35 countries around the world. It's Brett Davis. That's who that is. And in the 1960s, Joan Ely, who from this church was a woman who loved the Lord, she loved God, and she took her passion, which was for the lost and those who were hurting, and she took her ability, which was to preach the gospel and to teach and to make a change and make a difference, that natural ability she had, and she had an opportunity in a place called Venezuela, and she took that passion and ability and opportunity, and she became the very first missionary sent by Gomia Baptist Church to Venezuela, and she spent decades there making a difference. And we still hear to this day that the church in Venezuela can trace back a lot of their growth and movements to Joan and her work and what God had done in her and through her. And that's just a handful of the stories that we have. That's just kind of the highlights, really, the Instagram page of it. There has been thousands of stories coming from this community of faith and others like it, where people have taken their passions, the things that get them up in the morning, their abilities, what God has placed in their life, and seen an opportunity and stepped into that. And for many of the things, they won't be starting a huge big ministry, but it'll just be in the small daily walk of life that we see God at work. And currently we're doing a series called Finding Your Place in the Mission of God. And that's what we want to talk about today, finding your place in the mission of God, and particularly about your passions and your abilities and your opportunities, about how God can use all of that in his great and glorious mission to renew and restore the world. We started a couple of weeks ago, Mark Rader spoke about using finding a place in the mission of God at work. And we found that it wasn't just bailing people up at the water cooler and telling them that they had to become a Christian or had to know about Jesus, but it was a little bit more subtle than that. And we might actually be God-like in our work. We might see that how God is the provider, we might be those who provide. Or we might see how God is a culture creator, that we might create a culture or an atmosphere in our workspace. It's good to go back and have a listen to the podcast if you haven't listened to that one already. Last week we had Melissa, who is the CEO of Baptist World Aid, come along. And she spoke about finding our place in the mission of God in a global perspective, about partnering with the church in Lebanon and what they're doing there and how we can play a part through prayer and giving and walking alongside that church. And then if you came at night last week, she spoke on a more local context about how we can play our part in the mission of God by the choices we make in the things we buy and the purchases that we consume that can help around the world. But today we want to talk about passion, ability, and opportunity. And the passage that Derek read for us before, thank you, Derek, for reading that for us, you might have already heard it. If you've been tracking through any of the life group resources, this was in last week's life group resources, so it might be familiar to you, so I'm not going to dive in too deep into this passage of Scripture. I just want to point out a couple of things. There's something in Paul's letter to Ephesus that this little section of Scripture is like a little snapshot of the gospel. This is like a whole encapsulation of the entire gospel. And it starts out by talking about us as being dead. It says we were dead in our transgressions and sins, in the things that we've done. So we were dead in that. And the two words there, sins and transgressions, or sometimes trespasses. Trespasses, you know what that is. If you've gone where you shouldn't go, you've transgressed, you've gone where you shouldn't. And sin was an archery term. It meant to miss the mark, right? So not only have you gone where you shouldn't, but you haven't lived up to what you should have lived up to. And Paul says we were dead in that. And there's two times that he actually uses the words walk in this, like physically walking. One at the beginning and one at the end. It's not in the English translation, but it says that you used to walk in this way. This is the way you were a dead man walking, literally. You were dead and you were walking in sin and transgressions, and that's the way you used to live, says Paul. That's the walk that you had. And then he says, ha, 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 here we go. But because of Jesus, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us not dead, but alive with Christ. And he says, it's by grace you've been saved. So this passage of scripture talks about us being dead people walking in our transgressions and God taking us and making us alive again. Through grace, you have been saved. And then it sounds so nice. He says it twice in this passage. It is by grace you've been saved, not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that none can boast. And he says, for we, you, me, we are God's handiwork, poem, work of art, beautiful creation of God, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, for which God prepared us to walk in. Walk in advance for us to do in your English, but it's to walk in. In this passage, we go from people who are dead, walking in death and in sin, away from God. God, through his grace and mercy, by grace, nothing that we've done to deserve us, makes us alive. And next minute, we're walking and talking. We're kicking goals. We're alive and kicking here because we are doing what God wants us to do. It is by grace that we've been saved. God has prepared us in advance for us to do. And I want to suggest that this passage, moving dead to life, walking in sin to walking in the good things that God has for us, is a little picture of the Christian life. And I think it's important at the outset when we're looking at this that we recognise a couple of things here. Firstly, that we recognise the order of it, that God has done it this way. We were dead, now we're alive. We were in transgression, now we've got stuff to do that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And he says it twice that it's by grace we're saved. We don't have to do the things that God has prepared in advance for us to do. We get to do the things that God has prepared in advance for us to do. It's not a you have to in order to be saved. It's instead you were dead. You've been saved. You've been made alive. And now you get to do this. You get to do what God has prepared. You are God's handiwork. You get to do what God has for you. And how many people know that if God has prepared something for you, if God has planned something for you, if God has purposed you for something, know that it's a good thing because God is a good God. So we get to do things and partner with God in the renewal of restoration of all things in Christ to find our place in God's mission here. It's not something that we have to do in order to be saved. And I think the order is really important. It's a response to the grace of God. We haven't earned it. We've done nothing. We've just been made alive in Christ. And here it is. We get to walk in the good stuff. So, with that in mind, with that framework in mind, that it's not something that we have to do, and that we're not earning salvation, I want us to look at our passions, our abilities, and our opportunities. So, embracing our passion. What's the thing that you are passionate about? What's the thing that interests you? What's your special interest? What's the thing that gets you up out of bed in the morning? And I'm not talking about the alarm clock, the small children, or your bladder. I'm talking about the things that interest you, that fire you up. What makes you keen to just get on with stuff and get at it? What is the thing that gets you up? Or conversely, what is the thing that makes you righteously angry? What is the thing that injustice that makes you burn and want to do something about, that puts a fire in your belly? Where's the passion point for you? And think about it and pray about it, because I do believe that those things that touch our emotions, that touch us mentally, that stir us up, are things that God has graced us with. He has given those to us, and we can bring those in alignment with God's will and purpose for our lives. Our passions can be brought in alignment and under the authority of God so that we might use them in a good, godly way to make a difference in the world. So we're having a bit of a think about that. And you might need to talk about this with your life group. Sometimes we talk about the discipleship context. We talk about your relationship with God. And so this is the kind of thing, asking about your passions, that you can talk about with your relationship with God. But also we talk about the you and a few, those people in your inner circle that you can say anything to and you can bounce anything off and they know you and you know them and there's a lot of trust, high trust relationship. You can speak into one another's lives. This is a great topic to ask the you and a few. It might even be the you and a crew, the life group size, that you can talk about in your life group. What's the passion that I've got? How am I going to bring that in alignment with what God is doing in my life? So finding out your passion is really important. The second thing that we want to talk about is unleashing your ability. Now you are God's, what's the word? Handiwork or workmanship or work of art. You are specially created and graced by God with a whole bunch of gifts and a whole bunch of talents and a whole bunch of abilities, both natural and supernatural. And God has done this in you and has given you things, and you have some ability. And I want to ask us to start unleashing and exploring our abilities. We might need to grow our abilities, to practice them, to take them out of the box and shake them up a bit and put them to work so that we can grow in our abilities. And as we're looking at our abilities and who we are and who God has made us to be and to be walking in that, we need to be really aware that we don't deceive ourselves in this, in our own abilities. And I think there's a couple of ways that we can have some self-deception around our abilities. One of the ways is we can actually diss God and dismiss our own abilities by saying, I don't have many abilities. I don't have the ability to do this. Oh, I don't have that. Oh, I can't do this. Or that's not me. And we can actually deceive ourselves into thinking that we don't have abilities. And I want to say, if God made you, he made you well, and he made you his work of art, and you have some abilities. And you might need to go to the you and a crew, you and a few, you and God, and ask them, hey, what's my abilities? It just might look different to someone else's abilities. It might look different. And guess what? That's good, because we don't need people that look all the same as one another. It takes all of us to be the church of God. It takes all of us to reach the world in all sorts of different ways. So don't deceive yourself into thinking that you don't have abilities. You do. God has given them to you. And we need to think about that and address that. Another thing that we can deceive ourselves in terms of our abilities is we can think too highly of ourselves, and we can think our abilities are awesome and fantastic, and they can become self-serving abilities rather than being something that serves another. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So when we're thinking about our ability, yes, some of us have incredible abilities, but we need to utilize them and use them to serve others. We are a servant-hearted people because we serve a servant-hearted God. And our abilities sometimes need to be brought under the authority and lordship of Jesus and say, I've got this, Jesus. What do I do with it? How can I use this? How can I bless you? How can I serve your people? How can I extend your kingdom? How can I make a difference in the world? And having that open relationship where we take that little bit of ability, whatever it is, just like that boy in the story that comes to Jesus and he's got the fish and he's got the loaves of bread and he comes to Jesus and gives Jesus his little lunch and Jesus multiplies it and feeds 4,000. We need to be doing that with our abilities to Jesus and seeing what God does with that. So, passions, embracing our passion, unleashing our abilities. The next thing we need to be doing is seizing our opportunities, seizing them, taking them captive and seeing them. And there's a couple of things I want to say about abilities, because, about opportunities. Because I think some of us, sometimes we can get a bit confused about our opportunities. There's two types of opportunities that I want to bring out for us today. Two kind of types. It's the what and the how. And I think for us as Christians, sometimes we focus on the what type of opportunities. We think, I've got this passion, I've got this ability, I want the opportunity, and it's got to be a what opportunity, but there's no space for it. Mark mentioned that at work even. You know, we know that we want to share the gospel with people, we want to love people, but at work, our hands might be tied and we can't speak of the things of God. It's not appropriate in our context to talk about God. So sometimes we can come up with a bit of a barrier or a block to actually doing what we think God wants us to do. But there's two types of opportunities. Yes, there is a what opportunity. You might need to step, take your passion, your ability, step into your opportunity. And it might be a chance to tell someone about Jesus. It might be a chance to share what you did on the weekend about how you went to church or how you've got life group tonight or how you served in kids ministry or youth ministry or something like that. Because the scripture does actually say that we should do this, that we should be prepared always to give an answer for the hope that we have in Christ, but do that in gentleness and respect. So we're supposed to be able to speak it out and to share that. But also, it could be the how opportunity. It's a really old song, and I'm dating myself here because I know Bananarama did a cover of it. And they said, it ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. It ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. It ain't what you do, it's the way that you get. That's what gets results. It's a very old song. And sometimes I think with our opportunities, it might be not the what we do, but the way that we do it. And our opportunity might look a little bit different to being someone who's always going to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. We might have to go into our workplace or our spaces or our life arenas or wherever we spend the majority of our time, and our opportunity might be to be somebody who displays the fruit of the Spirit. It might be to walk in and be that non-anxious presence. It might be the person who is known for being patient. It might be the person who people say, you have such incredible self-control. Wouldn't that be great when I'm driving, preaching to myself here? Wouldn't that be amazing though? It's the way that we did things made an impact, and the opportunity wasn't just what we said, but it was the way that we said it. It was the way we lived our lives. 1 Peter again talks about that. It says, but live in such a way among your unbelieving neighbours that when they accuse you of doing wrong, they might see your honourable behaviour and give glory to God. So your opportunity might look different. And it's both and, isn't it? It's gospel explanation and it's lived example. It's explanation and example. It's your beliefs and it's your behaviour. So we need to open our eyes to the type of opportunities that we have in our lives. But also, how do we even begin to see the opportunities? How do we kind of explore that? How do we step into our opportunities, whether they're something that we say or something that we show? Well, I think one of the things we do is we ask God. We say, God, I'm passionate about this. Online gaming, whatever it is. I'm actually good at it. Show me, God, where the opportunity lies. Show me how I can walk in that, the good works you've already prepared in advance for me to do, that I can walk in those things. Show me. And pray and seek and open your eyes to a different way of seeing what God is doing and where he's already at work in the world. It might be that somebody actually tells you. You might have somebody telling you or speaking into you and saying, you know what? You're a really good listener. You actually really listen to people. Do you know what a gift that is? It's incredible. And that might be the way you see your opportunity. It could be not just something that you prayed for or somebody that's they've shoulder tapped you. It could actually be you knocking on a few doors and seeing what's open. just trying some different things and seeing where you get some traction. But we need to be open to what God is doing and step into the opportunities and even maybe speak about somebody else and their opportunity. Ultimately, it's about having a posture, isn't it? We've talked about posture before. We talk about stance. Stance is when you're fixed and you're just stuck there. A posture is when you're ready to go. You're open. And for us as believers who believe that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works for which God has prepared in advance for us to walk, we want to be posture ready. We want to be ready to walk into them. And so having that posture of openness and seeing what the opportunity might look like is, I think it's a really great way as we try and figure out and find our place in the mission of God. Now, I am going to quickly put on my leadership hat just for a moment. Just for a moment in this. I believe that everybody can take their abilities and their passions and abilities and their opportunities and walk in it. But I particularly want to just take a little moment to speak about leadership in this. Because for those of us who are in leadership, and whether this is your business or the soccer club, but particularly the church, I think what we can sometimes do in a leadership context is we can see someone's passion, and we can see someone's ability, and we can see an opportunity, and we think that's a done thing. And we can mistake those things for integrity and maturity. We can mistake them easily for integrity and maturity, and we can elevate people into positions of leadership on the basis of their passion and ability and opportunity. So this is just leadership here. And I think it's really important for us as we're looking and finding our place in the mission of God in a leadership context, that we take a moment to just consider those things, that integrity. There's a job, didn't know this, called hull integrity, where if you're a ship builder, your job is to make sure that the hull of the ship is connected. That's what integrity means, integrated. Every part of it is connected to every other part of it. That's integrity. And a hull shipbuilder who's in charge of hull integrity will make sure that it's fully connected. So when it's launched and it goes out, there's no holes in it. And we don't get Titanic number two, right? And it sinks in the storm of life. And there's something in that for us, if in the context of leadership, that we need to be people whose lives are integrated, connected. That the person that we are on the outside is the person that we are on the inside. The person we are on the platform is the same person we are off the platform. That the people that we are in our leadership is the same people at the office is the same people that we are at home. That's maturity and being an integrated leader. Because otherwise, we can really do some incredible damage. And we've seen that in the Christian church over the past few years of leaders who had the passion and the ability and the opportunity, but unfortunately they had some issues in their hull integrity, which no one saw because it was below the waterline. So that's my little leadership caveat. I believe that's for the Christian church. Probably you can get furrowed outside the church without that, but if you want to be a leader worth following and if you want to be an example of Jesus and you want to be the person that leads people to Christ, integrity is a really important part, okay? Leadership hat off. That was just my little section for that now. Now, I do believe that for all of us, regardless of whether we're leaders or not, we can take our passions, we can take our abilities and we can seize our opportunities and that we can walk in the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And I don't believe this is just something that people can do at the very start of their life. I actually believe that this is an all of life thing. The opportunities might not be macro, they could be micro. But I just want to remind you of a couple of things before I close and we invite the band up to pray. Firstly, Babs and John Turner, they of the chicken shed fame, who started and planted a church, had no intention of planting a church. It wasn't what they were doing. All they were doing was taking their passion and their abilities and their opportunities and just stepping into it. That's all they did. They weren't planning to do something big. They're just following the path that God had planned, walked out for them, and they walked in it. It wasn't to do anything big, it was just small. Brett Davis had zero intention of starting an international surfing movement that's currently in 35 countries. All he wanted to do was to reach young Groms down at Cronulla with Jesus. That was it. But he just faithfully stepped into it in small, faithful ways. Hopefield today started as Tea Gardens Cottage, right here, a place to have a cup of tea. Doesn't that sound cute? Tea Gardens Cottage? I want to go there and have a cup of tea. Sounds great. A little cup of tea and a chat place. It had zero intention of being this massive organisation that would have reach across the Shire, working with other people in the sectors and with a really broad reach. That wasn't the intention. It was just those small little steps of opportunity. And as they were faithful in the small stuff, God gave them more. Because that's what God does, doesn't he? So church, imagine what God can do with your passion and your ability given over to him and the opportunities as you pray for them, as you open your eyes, as you shoulder tap one another, as you see it and you step into it in faith. Imagine what God can do there. The lives that he can change, the impact and the influence that he can have as we find our place in the mission of God so that we can see lives changed by Jesus. I'm going to invite the band up and they're going to come up and get busy behind me doing whatever they do. And I'd love to pray for us. I'd love to pray for us that we might be able to find our place in the mission of God. To pray for you wherever you're at in that. Don't get scared. Doesn't mean if you start something, you're going to suddenly find yourself running an international ministry or moving to Venezuela. But it does mean that God is open and you're in a posture of being used by God in that way of being open to God. So I'd love to pray for you. If as we're singing songs, a couple of members of our prayer team are going to be down the front here in the building. If you'd like some prayer for this or for anything that's going on in your life, they would love to pray for you and with you. And online friends, they would also love to pray for you, but you just need to hit that little prayer button that you can see there. And I think Karen's hosting and she'll put that up in the chat for you. So will you just bow your heads with me and pray? Loving God, I want to thank you so much, Jesus, that, Lord, that you do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Lord, thank you that you have moved us, Lord, from death to life, that we used to walk against you and now we walk with you. And they have good things planned for us, Lord. And Lord, I pray for every person here today, online, on site, listening to the podcast later, Lord, that we might have eyes that are open, to see our passions and to align them with what you're doing in this world. That you might build our abilities, Lord, that we might really just give them a go, Lord, that we might not be fearful of them, we might discover them, that we might use them, that you would make us a powerful instrument in your hand. Lord, I pray that the opportunities that exist around us open our eyes, open our hearts, Lord, to what you're already doing in the world. Help us to step in as we walk, as the verse says, as to step into that, Lord, without fear, knowing that you are a good God and you have planned these things in advance for us to do. Thank you that we can live lives of purpose and destiny and lives also of integrity. Lord, continue to do a work in your people for your glory and for your name. For together we pray. Amen.
We hope this message has challenged and strengthened you, encouraged you to pray and rely on God, and blessed you today. If you'd like to get to know some of our church community, you can listen to the We Are The Church podcast, an open conversation with real people who call GBC home as they share stories of God at work in their lives and how their lives are being changed by Jesus.